How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is Tuesday, March 19, 2013, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Going to start, as always, on Monday with Raw and get it out of the way. We got about 3 weeks left until WrestleMania, and they kicked it off here on Monday night with a bad show. I thought this show was lame. There's a couple of decent matches, but overall...
The last two things were good, but up until then, it was a lot of stuff really questionable. I mean, just as far as I'm just sitting there going, like, why would you ever do this over and over again?
Yeah.
That was kind of like my reaction.
Starting right when the show started.
Right when the show started, it was just like, this is the guy in the main event of WrestleMania. And he's doing this segment that should be on, like, Saturday Morning Slam in, like, June or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, nothing wrong. I don't know. That segment went, you know, it was
Are you going to say nothing wrong with it? There was a million things.
No, I said it went too long.
I see.
I mean, it's just, oh, God. It went too long, and...
I don't know if there was an ideal time for that segment to go. I think it should have gone 0 seconds.
I wouldn't argue that. I thought it was just, I thought it was like a really weird idea. I could see someone going like, well, this is kind of entertaining to kids, although I don't know that it really was. I didn't have any kids watching with me.
Kids aren't paying for the pay-per-view.
But I mean, the whole thing is like this guy is in the main event on the pay-per-view against The Rock, and he's wasting his time in this thing that just was, you know, just had nothing to do with anything and just was pretty terrible, really.
Well, let's start with that. John Cena came out at the very beginning of the show, and as he's doing his usual spiel, out comes Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. Titus O'Neil is dressed up as Rufus Pancake Patterson, who he claims is the uncle of Darren Young, and they proceeded to do
Where did they ever get that name from?
God-awful skit.
Yeah.
God-awful skit. So bad that I believe Jerry Lawler, in the middle of it, just said, am I dreaming? Which is actually exactly what I was thinking. Yes, it went on forever, and it led to, get this, a John Cena-Darren Young match that apparently started during the commercial break, and when they came back
it started right before the commercial break.
Right before the break. They went to a break, and they came back, and the match was getting finished. So,
well, I mean, that was good because, I mean, the match went 4 minutes and we didn't watch hardly any of it.
We watched about 30 seconds.
Well, it's all that we really needed to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Cena should have done a 4 minute match in front of us right before WrestleMania with Darren Young.
Bad comedy. Announcers half laughing, half bearing it. John Cena being dragged down by this. It just sucked. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Ryback and David Otunga was up next. David Otunga, I shouldn't say the star. That would be preposterous. He was in The Call, which did very well this weekend, $17 million.
The most successful movie the WWE has ever been involved with and may ever be involved with.
Yeah. I think the key is to use guys who aren't stars, like Ted DiBiase, Ken Anderson, and now David Otunga.
No, it's to use people like Halle Berry who are stars.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie did very well. As far as new openings this week, it was number one and beat number two by $7 million and came in second only to the Wizard of Oz prequel or whatever it is. So, yeah.
No, the movie's a big success. So they bring him back and he, you know, I mean, and I wouldn't, you know, they bring him back as a job guy, which is whatever. I mean, you know, I mean, he's not in the mix as far as anyone being pushed right now, and Ryback is, so that's fine.
Ryback beat him quickly with the shell shock.
The one thing we should mention is that it was really weird because Pittsburgh was sold out, and WWE business is on fire right now. But if you watch the show, you would never get that impression because the crowd was, like, dead for everything except for the main event.
Well, they killed him right off the bat.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they killed him, or maybe the crowd was dead. I don't know. It's
You know, I thought the first hour just absolutely was just horrible. I mean, by the second hour when they were doing stuff and nobody cared, it was like, I don't care either. The first hour was so bad that if I had bought a ticket to this show, I wouldn't care about anything either by this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue about the first hour being really, really bad. It wasn't so much, I'm watching this going like, why would you be doing this stuff right now? Or you know, like with, Fandango, when he walks out on Kali, and then the next segment, Damian Sandow is walking out on R-Truth, and it's like, okay, one of those is not good. You know, those heel walkouts in a non-match, I guess, is okay. Heel walkouts in a match every now and then is I suppose, it's easy heat, but it also makes you kind of feel like, you know, it's just kind of a rip-off finish. But too straight, you know, it's just like, who's thinking of this? I mean, where's the quality control where you do the same, you know? It's like by the second time, it's like the heat's not on the guys. If the heat's on, like, God, we got to watch this again.
Let's look at this first hour. We had, we'll get into all these segments here in a second, but you start with a horrible skit that leads to a nothing match, followed by a nothing match, followed by a nothing match that doesn't even take place.
Well, before that, we had the Ryback thing where, I mean, I had like, you know, I mean, I kind of knew that they were going to switch the thing. I mean, if you watch SmackDown, it was really obvious that they were, you know, switching the Ryback out of the trios match and into the singles match with Mark Henry. So I'm expecting Ryback to go out there and cut a promo. And granted, that's asking a lot, but Ryback to go out and cut a promo and just go, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I Mark Henry, I want to get you, whatever, you know, whatever he's going to say. Instead, we have Vicky Guerrero out there going like, I'm pulling you out of this match for the six-man tag for no reason at all. But if you want to be on the card, you'll have to wrestle Mark Henry. And it's like, oh, God, now I'm really excited about both matches. It's like, what the – I mean, where do they come up with such a lame premise to set up, you know, WrestleMania matches as Vicky Guerrero just come out with some whims? You know, it's like, this guy splashed me all these times, and it's like, am I mad? No, Vicky Guerrero's just taking me out of the match and forcing me into this match with Mark Henry. It's like –
The booking was a hell of a lot better before Vince got pissed off at the booking and switched everything.
You know, the funny thing is that of course, before this show, that I had heard from people, you know, during this week going like, you know, Vince is really on his game right now. And I suppose, you know, I mean, the results, if you look at the results of late, you know, he is on his game. He wasn't on his game, you know, somebody wasn't on his game today, that's for sure. But it's like, and then Ryback just stands there. You know, and doesn't say yes and doesn't say no or doesn't say anything. It's like, okay, boss. You know, it's like, you know, that's hardly like what that character should be doing. And it's like he's just been destroyed by Mark Henry. And granted, he's been destroyed by the Shield numerous times. And he's just, you know, I'm just watching this going like, this is like your storyline to build up your WrestleMania grudge match is Vicky Guerrero just going out there. Oh, by the way, you're now booked in this match. So, anyway.
Then we had Fandango and Great Khali, which, of course, didn't happen. Fandango still refuses
good.
To wrestle.
That's good, though. That didn't happen.
No, it's not. I hate this character. I want to turn the TV off and never turn it back on at this point. And, yes, the match would have sucked, but...
The match would have sucked. I cannot get mad.
Walkout gimmick is just killing me.
What?
The walkout gimmick's just killing me. It's not good heat. I don't want to ever see him on my television again. It's not like I cannot wait to see this guy wrestle. And, as noted, that led to R-Truth and Damian Sandow, which had another walkout finish.
Yeah, the second walkout finish was just... At this point in the show, the one thing they didn't need was a walkout finish.
You can't have a finish in Truth versus Damian Sandow.
I know. Well, maybe it's set. Maybe because they're going to set up a match like on one of the other shows in the next week. If they actually don't come back with this match and set up for another one, and they just did this walkout finish, then...
Well, I'm sure they will, but did this walkout finish really make you actually want to see this match?
I didn't really... They did nothing in the match that made me want to see them again, no. But sometimes you have to build up rematches when you got all the, you know, so many hours of television to fill. But even saying that, it's like, even if you were going to do two of them, you could, like, separate them, like, put one of them on late and one of them on early instead of two in a row. It's like, yeah, by the second one, it's just like, God damn this. That's when I hit the wall. I was like, okay, you know, not only is this crowd dead, but this show sucks. You know, it's like before that, I was just thinking like, well, that segment wasn't very good, and this segment wasn't very good. But now it's like when you do two in a row, it's like, okay, this thing's bad.
And Cody and the Bella Twins backstage, they're fawning all over him. Caitlin came up. She said she was busy later, so she couldn't hang out with Cody. He was sad, but then was not sad because the Bellas wanted to know all about him. And she made fun of the Bellas for having mustaches. And I don't know what's going on in this storyline. I have no idea.
Well, the idea is that you don't know what's going on.
What does anything have to do with anything?
As far as Cody wants to be with Caitlin, but he's got these girls hanging on him. He doesn't know what the hell to do. So the one that he really likes is getting away, but he's got these two other girls on him, and so it's kind of, you know.
But my point is, what's the point?
Situation before, Brian.
But what's the point? Like, what is the point of this? Like, he doesn't come out with the Bellas. We only see the Bellas briefly asking about his mustache. Like, there's never been any sort of relationship between him and Caitlin, except that they've eyeballed each other.
Yeah, but we know that they both want each other. It's the whole
I
thing.
I guess.
Like they
I mean,
it's the thing where they want each other. We all know it, but there are circumstances holding them apart. It's like I've only seen like.
Isn't it like a babyface storyline for people we're supposed to like?
What'd you say?
Isn't it supposed to be like a babyface storyline for two people we're supposed to like, where we want to see them together?
I think in the long run, yeah. So I guess Cody Rhodes might be turning babyface at some point.
Huh.
Which I don't know if that's a good idea. And I don't really know if the problem with it also is that when you finally pay it off and Cody Rhodes is with Caitlin, is like there any chemistry and would you really, I don't know.
And why are the Bellas back? Have they explained this? What are they doing here? What is their job? Just to fawn over Cody Rhodes backstage?
To double date Cody and Damian.
Wow. Vicky's doing everybody a favor here. So then we had Undertaker coming out for another awful segment. He came out. He wants the urn back. They cut to backstage where Punk is impersonating Paul Bearer. He's being a ventriloquist for the urn where Paul Bearer is supposedly stored, at least according to storyline on the house shows. Paul's in the urn, and then he starts juggling it, and he juggles it, and he juggles it, and he juggles it, and he juggles it, and then he finally drops, and he says shit, and they have to bleep it, and then he juggles it, and then they show The Undertaker just staring there for way too long, and then they cut away. This is their build to The Undertaker and CM Punk? The four-way was better than this.
Yeah, this wasn't good. It really came off sleazy too. More complaining, but
I can see people saying like, you know, I think Paul Bearer after all of his time in wrestling would want to be involved in a storyline leading to WrestleMania, but I don't think Paul Bearer would want to be involved in something like this that sucked.
Well, no one can speak for Paul Bearer, so I don't know what he would think. All I know is that when I was watching it, my gut was, this is sleazy.
It was not good, like last week.
Yeah, it's just like, this is sleazy, and when you feel that way, then it must, you know, there must be some reason. And, yeah, no, it wasn't a good segment, and I don't know.
I think it was too much. I could say more, but I can't say more.
There were a lot of people, I'll just say this, there were a lot of people internally who were not happy with it. This was the one segment that was actually pointed out to me that there were a lot of people not happy with it. Not because of the exploitation of Paul Bearer thing. Nobody was mad about it that way. And it wasn't like with Eddie Guerrero. It was just several people just thought that this segment was bad for the company and just bad in general.
It was too much like a... How can I say it? It was too much blowing off the fact that the guy is really dead. You know what I mean?
It made it really insignificant.
Last week it felt like, okay, you know, the guy passed away and we're doing something resembling a tribute and we're putting him kind of into the storyline and in a way that it didn't feel like this.
You can do storylines based on real life. Okay. I mean, I'll give you an example. Many years ago, when David Von Erich died, okay, and this was very controversial at the time because when David Von Erich died, they did the thing at Fritz's ranch, and it's David and Kevin and Carrie, and they're all sitting there, and they're sad and everything like that. And Fritz is just like, you know, you're going to – one of you two's got to win that world championship. David wanted to win the world championship and this and that. And people in wrestling that I knew were really hot about it, you know, exploiting the death and this and that. And, you know, they did the big house and everything for it. But my thought was is that that's logical in the sense that if this really happened, this would be the result, and you're trying to play it off as a shoot. And they didn't, like, harp on it that much afterwards. I mean, you know, he wore the ring jacket and all that. But, again, that's all part of if it was logical and you're telling a story. In real life, you know, what are you going to do when the guy's brother really died? You know what I mean? It's like – so I thought at that time it was really well done. But this one, it was like – you know, like in real life, would you ever do it? You know what I mean? It's like I'm watching this. Like in real life, could you do a tribute and you know, Punk being a little bit smarmy and all that? Yeah, but this one, it's like this isn't like real life, and this is like the WrestleMania number two or number three match, and you're you know juggling an urn, and it was like a cartoon that wasn't a good cartoon. It wasn't real heat. It wasn't anything other than just. Like a, it felt like a lame sleazy story or segment. So I couldn't think of anything good about it. And it's like, you know, you got a guy in Punk who seriously is one of the best promos that you know, I mean, ever. Seriously, one of the best promos ever. And I'm, you know, it's like, where's the promo? You know, it's like he wasn't put in a position to do a promo tonight. And this thing, I mean, is this going to really build any interest to WrestleMania? Him. You know, I just felt very, you know. I mean, you know, we're saying all this, but their business is on fire, and they're going to do great business at Mania, no matter how bad they botch up the next 3 weeks, or do great the next 3 weeks. But still, yeah, I mean, yeah, not a good first hour for sure, or first hour plus.
Team Hell No against the Colognes. I guess it made sense later, but at the time, AJ skipping down for a distraction. I was like, what's going on here?
Well, you know, they're setting up the other thing. I mean, I got that.
Yeah, later. But at this point, what was the point?
It's good setting up later. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that one. Hmm. You know, match was you know, Daniel Bryan Kane against the Colognes. You know, I mean, they're good workers that don't, you know, the Colognes don't mean anything. And, it was, you know, it was just a TV squash match.
Jericho and Fandango backstage. Jericho made fun of his name. This was at least this was a segment where guy makes a bunch of jokes and you can hear the audience laughing, as opposed to guy making a bunch of jokes and nobody laughs except the announcers. So I can't complain that much about this.
Yeah.
Except I did have to see Fandango again.
and it confirms the match.
That's right. Well, that is expected to be the match, yes.
Well, I mean, the problem... I kind of wish, like, you know, when you have Jericho at WrestleMania that, you know, he's in a match that you can get excited about. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Fandango's going to turn out to be a really good worker and him and Jericho are going to tear the house down. But right now, I'm not feeling it.
Alberto Del Rio and Cody Rhodes. Absolutely nobody cared about this match.
Well, the fans didn't care about nothing at this point. I mean, that was the problem. It's like I watched this and I was thinking, like, you know, this match really isn't bad at all. You know, it was like okay. You know, I mean, even better than okay. But it was so dead that it made it seem like it was not good at all.
I thought the match was fine, but nobody cared. And they actually did care afterwards when Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger ran down and there was a big wild brawl. And they did get into that a bit, and in this brawl...
The brawl was good.
Yep, in this brawl, Del Rio got laid out, and Jack Swagger broke Ricardo Rodriguez's ankle. And he was howling and screaming, and Ricardo came... Or Alberto came back and ran off Swagger, and there's your big heat angle. This was a good post-match angle on a bad show.
Yeah. I liked the way that whole thing was set up in the sense that, you know, Del Rio was beaten on Swagger and then he got distracted going after Zeb And then, you know, Swagger laid him out, which he had to do. And then, you know, they're leaving, and then they just kind of see Ricardo, and he runs back and clotheslines Ricardo and, you know, puts him in the ankle lock, and they say he's got a broken, you know, he broke his ankle with the ankle lock, which, you know, I guess that means no Ricardo for a couple weeks, but, or maybe he comes out with a cast, or maybe he's gone, I don't know. I know that I've heard people suggest, and I disagreed with this, that, you know, that because Del Rio's now a face, that Ricardo, he shouldn't have Ricardo, but I completely disagree with that, but I know that there are people who have suggested that, you know, and that, whatever.
Then we had the Hall of Fame induction of, well, not the induction, but the announcement that Booker T is going into the Hall of Fame. And they did a hell of a video for Booker T, I gotta say.
A lot of old stuff.
A lot of old stuff, when I first heard Booker T, it's like, Booker T in the Hall of Fame? I mean, obviously,
WWE
Hall of Fame, it's fine. But, I mean, yeah. I would never vote for him, for example, for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
Well, no, he was on the ballot, and nobody voted for him.
But I thought that in terms of, like, showing his whole career and hammering home, he won the tag titles X number of times, the U.S. title, the world title, all of these titles, King of the Ring. I mean, they really did a hell of a job making you think, all right, good job, Booker's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So I like this video. Mm-hmm. Orton and Sheamus against 3MB. Three guesses what happened there. They had the Shield run out afterwards. And who should make the save on this 3-on-2 attack but Big Show, who sprinted down the ramp.
Well, and, I guess. Tried.
He did a hell of a job. He did a better job running than 90% of the guys in this company would running down that ramp.
I strongly disagree.
50%. 50%. 30%.
Okay, who better than Mark Henry?
Better than Mark Henry, Vince, right. Paul Heyman.
What?
I don't know about that. Anyway, he cleared the ring.
You named one guy. Put from 90% to one guy.
Great Khali.
Definitely Great Khali.
See, there we go.
For sure.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. He hit the ring better than 100% of the 7-footers in this company. So anyway,
you're right about that.
Got in the ring. He celebrated, or he didn't celebrate, but he pointed to the big sign, and he wants to be the new man on the team, as he's tried to be for a while now. So it looks like Orton and Sheamus are going to break down and allow Big Show to fight at WrestleMania against the Shield.
Yeah.
Ziggler and Kofi. Another match without a lot of heat. Ziggler won with the zigzag. So I believe, for those keeping track, I could be wrong, I think that's 3 wins in a row for Ziggler. A shocking win streak that he is on right now.
Well, he needs it. The AJ distracted Kofi, and then Kofi jumped off the apron.
And was nearly killed by Biggie Langston.
By Biggie Langston, and then, the zigzag. So I guess it's Ziggy and Biggie. That's the tag team, right?
I guess so.
Yeah,
Ziggy and Biggie.
Yeah,
they're going to be challenging for the tag team titles against Daniel Bryan and Kane. And they came out and requested the match, and Ziggler wanted nothing to do with this. Which is interesting because he was basically being given a championship match at the biggest show of the year.
And
he didn't want it.
Championship match yet? AJ negotiated the championship match.
I see. She did.
She accepted, but only if it was at WrestleMania, and only if it was a championship match. Which Kane and Daniel Bryan said that Ziggy and Biggie have gotten them on the same page. So they're like, which didn't they?
Yes. You know, creative change.
Yeah. They're on the same page this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, Yeah. So
I like how it's no longer an assumption that when you're challenged to a match by the tag team champions, that the championships won't be on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biggie's going to be in the ring, everybody.
You know, I don't know. There was something about the way that was done. I mean, I guess it was okay, and it was certainly better than the Ryback Mark Henry setup. But again, for a WrestleMania match, it just
their booking was AJ came out earlier in the evening for no reason as a distraction. That was their setup for this.
Yeah, it was. Well, no, but they did the angle. They did the angles where
Daniel Bryan made fun of her,
and you know he helped Ziggler beat Daniel Bryan last week. So I mean, they've done stuff for you know the at least a week. I mean, yeah, it's a long time.
Wow.
But just the way, I don't know, the way the thing, I guess because of the dead crowd or whatever, but the way that like that challenge was and then accepted and everything, I mean, it wasn't like, wow, it's another big WrestleMania match. It was just, you know, like it could have been a match for like the next match on Raw, the way the reaction was and the way it was just didn't feel strong. It wasn't strong.
Now, why was Ziggler not excited even after it was announced it would be a tag title match at the biggest show of the year?
I couldn't give you any kind of an answer for that. I mean, because by not being excited, you pretty much blow off the match to begin with, right?
That's what I would think.
Yeah. I mean, if he's not excited to get a tag team championship match, it buries the titles and also buries the match. So maybe he just didn't change his facial expression quick enough.
We had the three-way. Actually, first off, we had the John Cena Rock preview, which they've aired on every show for about the past 2 weeks.
Still good.
It is still good.
You know what, though?
Rock still won last year.
Okay. You know what? Why couldn't, when Rock was there 3 weeks ago, okay, why couldn't Rock, like, be backstage and tape interviews for, like, this week's show? I mean, like, that preview is very good. But couldn't the show have used a Rock interview, given that it is the main event at WrestleMania, he's the world champion? I mean, granted, I mean, he's in Korea or Germany or where, you know, he's all over the world promoting movies, okay? So he can't be there. I get that. But why can't you send in a tape?
I don't know, especially since we've known Rock's schedule for about 2 months now.
I mean,
it's not like a mystery he wasn't going to be here.
I mean, are they afraid that people will boo because he's not in the building and he's only sending a tape? Then just play the tape on the screen and turn the crowd noise off. Do a backstage thing. I mean, but whatever, you know, I don't know why you got to be there live and you can't do a tape promo. I mean, it just makes no sense.
I don't know.
For a guy who can do a promo as good as that guy can.
Especially
on this show. Wouldn't a Rock promo, even on tape, would be better than, like, you know, brighten up the show a little 99% bit?
99% of the stuff on the show, yes, it would be better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't have an answer for you.
It's like all the time when like a guy, for whatever reason, isn't there. It's like, you can do it, you know, when you know ahead of time, if you've got any kind of a semblance of where you're going, especially with this one, you already know the match. It's at WrestleMania. It's the main event. It's like, okay, this is the promo for, you know, for 3 weeks out. So go do the promo. It's like they did that great segment, it was several weeks out. And it's like, that was the perfect segment for week one of the feud. And, you know, you get stronger and stronger from here. You know what I mean? It's the kind of the setup and tell everyone, they tell why they want to be, you know, what the motives are and everything like that. And then you start building up the heat. So by the last week, you know, these two are at each other's throats and you really want to see it. Okay, after that first week, I really haven't seen it grow at all. And then we've had, you know, these 2 weeks where they've just kind of like done nothing with it. I mean, Cena could have helped, and Cena's segment did, you know, obviously absolutely nothing for the match. I mean, that was ill-conceived. So just
being nice.
It's really baffling. Like when you like look back at the show and you figure out, okay, we're 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. What are the goals? And it's like, I just feel like they didn't do nothing, you know, other than the last segment. Like the last segment was good. And then, you know, the three-way match was real good, you know, but as far as the building of those other matches at Mania, you know, very bad.
I didn't enjoy the three-way. It was Wade Barrett, Chris Jericho, and The Miz for the Intercontinental title. And the finish, Wade got sent outside, and Miz and Jericho did a whole bunch of near falls. And finally, Miz did a switch, skull-crushing finale on Jericho, but then Wade snuck in, schoolboyed him for the pin. And it's a good match. It was a good match. I expected.
I didn't know if they could because nobody else could. But yeah, I thought it was really good.
I figured they'd have, like, I don't know, Fandango run in and cost Jericho the match or something like that. But
better this way.
Nope, they didn't.
I mean, Miz was the one who got pinned. So.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, good match.
Do you really want to see Fandango again by this point?
Oh God, no! But at least it would be a storyline of some sort.
Yeah, I've kind of given up on the storyline for that match. I think it's going to be like, you know, Vicky's going to just come out and say, oh, and if you want to be at WrestleMania, you're going to have to wrestle Fandango.
You have to wrestle a man who was once on Dancing with the Stars.
They haven't even brought that up yet.
No, they haven't.
I mean, they could, but, you know, I mean, everyone's brought that up with them.
Now, I very easily could have missed this. Things happen. But I know that hanging from the ceiling, because you could, I heard about it before the show, and I could see it during the show. There was a giant, what appeared to be a Fandango.
Yeah, they showed it. They showed it in the Kali segment.
When he came down?
Yeah, they showed it.
All right.
They showed it. Right. Yeah, they showed it during the one of those segments, yeah.
All right. What a waste of money. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're trying to get somebody over.
He came out. They had the big, they had like a gold curtain or something on the entrance ramp that he comes out of now. And they got the girl. I don't know. Seems like a lot of money is going into this character.
Well, hopefully he gets over.
I'll say, listen, everybody. I thought that Damian Sandow was going to be a one-trick pony. I thought this gimmick was going to fail. I thought there was nothing to it. I thought it was too cartoonish, and it would die a death. I was wrong.
Okay, but I you know what? I mean, as far as Damian Sandow goes, I like Damian Sandow's promos a lot. His wrestling is okay. Sometimes it's even good, but usually it's just okay. But look at where he's positioned.
I mean, realize like, that. But
it's like you know, you say, I mean, it's entertaining, but is it a success? It's only a success if it's, you know.
Well, they're not pushing him to be a success at this point.
Yeah, so he's not.
I feel if they actually cared about tag teams and they actually pushed him and Cody, I think they would get over.
Tag team champions, no question.
Yeah, I think they would get over and they would do just fine. I'm not sold on this Fandango. It just feels like he comes out, he dances. I don't even know if he can work.
I mean, until we start seeing him in matches, I can't even begin to judge him, because ultimately, like, if he goes out there and matches and nobody cares, then it's going to fail. If he goes out there and all of a sudden, you know, is having good matches, then, you know, I mean, not that the matches are the be all and end all, but it'll make a difference. And if he interacts well, you know, it's like this introduction stuff is introduction stuff. But if he can go back and forth on promos with the top guys and be more than just this, you know what he is right now. I mean, again, it's like it's too early to make a judgment on him. It's nothing that's striking me as much of anything right now, though. But
let me ask you this then about this character.
Yeah.
So he comes out and he doesn't wrestle. He comes out and he doesn't wrestle, and they're building this up like, oh my God, you got to wait to see this guy wrestle, and the announcers are like, you know, Cole, got spoiled. God, I didn't get to see him wrestle. And they're all upset that they don't get to see him wrestle. And to me, it's like, well, you better fucking be able to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of create like a, it would seem that there's even more pressure on him to be a good worker now.
Okay. But whenever you bring a new guy in and you push him really hard, there's pressure on him to be able to work. When they brought in the Shield and they put him in those main event matches, there was pressure on those guys to, you know, especially Roman Reigns, you know, to be able to work. I mean, if Roman Reigns would have gone out there and froze, you know, in a main event on a pay-per-view, you know, it could have been kind of bad. I mean, the other two guys were very good going in. So it's like there's always that if a guy's going to be brought in to be a top guy, there's inherent pressure that he better deliver in the ring to a certain degree. And this guy is, you know, even though we don't even know if he's going to be a top guy, we don't know. But, I mean, just the fact they're putting him with Jericho at least means that they're given thought to, because, you know, he's going to, you know, you got to figure he's going to go over, that there's thought that he's going to be getting a push. So, you know, and they're putting him in there with, you know, one of their better guys at getting a match out of almost anyone. So,
well, maybe that's the idea, is his first match better be a damn good one, so let's have Jericho work with him.
Well, that isn't the dumbest idea, is it?
No, it actually is not. But then he has to, he's already getting chance. He hasn't even wrestled, and he's getting you can't wrestle chance.
Yeah, but again, until we see him wrestle, that's all the beginning and the preliminary stuff. And it just, you know, it's like until we, you know, it's like, you know, what the crowd's reacting to now. I mean, they may be getting bored of the thing. But I mean, I don't, you know, once he wrestles, it's like whether they went two extra weeks with the not wrestling thing or they go to, you know, whatever, it's not, you know, it's not a big deal. It's in the long run, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. So we got to wait. I mean, I just can't judge him I've seen guys come in, you know, like this, and you know, they can grow on you, and they can turn out to be good characters. And I mean, I mean, today when I watched him in that segment with Khali, I thought, you know, the whole thing with the segment and everything, I thought the segment pretty much sucked. But it doesn't mean that, you know, when he's interacting with top guys, that it might not, you know, he might have chemistry with them. The thing with Jericho, you know, it's week one.
All right, then we had the main event segment. Apparently you liked this more than I did. It was fine. I thought Paul did a good job. Hunter,
I thought Paul was great.
He was very good, but it seemed like it went on too long. What happened was Heyman came out, and he said that, I got this contract, Hunter. You sign it, and then we're going to tell you what the stipulation is. And he threw out a bunch of stipulations, which ended up not being the stipulation, such as your hands and feet will be shackled.
Or a blindfold match.
Or a blindfold
match.
But only
Triple H blindfolded, not Brock.
That's right. Which begged the question.
When he said blindfold match, I was just thinking, like, now they've really gone off the edge.
It did beg the question, why didn't he have a match where Triple H's hand and feet would be shackled?
Because he said that Brock wanted to win a fair fight, and he didn't want Triple H to have excuses when it was over that it wasn't fair.
What do you bet this is a fair fight?
In what sense?
Do you expect that when this is over, it will be Brock will have fought fair and square?
I don't believe either of them will fight fair and square. I believe we're going to have sledgehammers, and we're going to have, you know, chairs, and we're going to have all kinds of stuff. I think we're going to have... It's Triple H's match, so he's going to get the latitude to do what he wants, and they're going to do, you know, they're going to be put in a position where they can steal the show, and, you know, with more than just wrestling.
He also said as a possible stipulation, the winner gets Stephanie, and then he said, oh, wait, perhaps the loser should get Stephanie.
I actually like that a lot.
So
I like the way he delivered the line. I like the idea of it. I thought it was really good. And it also was, and then Triple H snapped and killed him.
He killed him for way too long. Security guards were there, and he beat them up, too. And finally...
The security guard thing was that was kind of lame.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know...
Three lame security guards.
Guards, and the third one ran away. You know.
So he beat up Paul, and he beat him up, and he beat him up, and he beat him up. Then he signed the thing, and he beat him up, and he beat him up, and he beat him up.
He stabbed him.
Actually stabbed the contract, which presumably went into Paul, but it's unconfirmed. Anyway.
Yeah, and they ripped his shirt off.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a good idea at all.
There was too much of Paul in this segment physically. So finally, Brock comes out, and he's got a chair.
Paul cut his head too.
I believe he did. Yes, it was a poor man's. It was a Brian Alvarez blade job. He barely got any juice, but he tried.
I don't think it was a blade job. Was it a blade job?
I don't know because
you're not allowed to do blade jobs.
Well, you can do whatever you want when you're in Hunter's angle. I'm sure. He got thrown head first in the table, and it looked to me like he was dinking around with his head, but I could have just made that up in my head. But anyway, he was bleeding.
You're not the first person to tell me that he did, but I just think that, you know, like, it's against the rules.
There are no rules with Triple H.
I've noticed that.
So Brock comes down. He saves Paul. They go up the ramp, and Paul announces the stipulations are that it will be no countouts, no DQs, no stoppages. It's no holds barred. And Hunter's like, yay, that's what I wanted. And then Paul's like, oh, my God, I nearly forgot. Probably due to the beating. It is also going to be your career on the line. So if Triple H loses, he must retire.
And God damn. Did they want to tell you the result ahead of time?
I guess they did. Not career versus career, everybody.
Well, no, it can't be career versus career.
Only Triple H's career is on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll swerve us and this will be it, but who knows?
Now, what career is? Is wrestling career? Is
wrestling career.
Corporate career?
No, not.
Because he doesn't have much of a wrestling career right now, Dave. I could have sworn he was already pretty much retired.
Well, perhaps that's the idea that people will think that maybe he'll actually lose.
I see. So he'll no longer have his one match a year or two matches?
Yeah, theoretically, if he loses this match, he won't have them.
How about that? So there you go, everybody. That is Raw.
I don't think he's losing.
I don't think so either. Now,
I didn't even think so before this stipulation, but this stipulation kind of solidifies it.
Yeah. Now, we talked about Punk, but we didn't talk about his knee. What's up? Or his arm.
His arm. Yeah, well, He's just he's banged up. He's got some issues with creative. I don't really know the whole story, but I'm told
they gave him this segment for tonight.
I tell you what, I heard he had issues with creative on Saturday morning. Okay, from a couple people, and that he would not be on house shows from, you know, and he's not on any house shows until between now and Mania. He did the Friday night show, and that was the last one. It's not that many shows left, but he's, you know, he's being there to rest, okay? And he is, you know, he's got actually an assortment of injuries that he's kind of nursing, you know, just from being banged up from, you know, working that hard schedule for year after year. And they want him fresh and ready because, you know, I don't know what, you know, how much Undertaker can do, but they're in a position where they got to have a really good match. So he's going to have to be at his best. So, I don't even know, you know, so that's the deal. That's the, you know, he's off. And I've got to think, even though they're downplaying the injury aspect, that they're, you know, he's got to be hurt to a certain degree to be completely off, you know. I mean, and granted, they don't really have anything for him on the house shows. He's working with Kofi. But, you know, it's still CM Punk. It's, you know, there's not a lot of depth on these house shows. And they are drawing big crowds right now. You know, so, you know, I think Raw sold out all four nights with tonight. They sold out four nights in a row. And I can't even come up with the last time something like that happened. But, you know, so that's the deal with Punk. He's off for a while. But, yeah, so if he had an issue with creative on Saturday, imagine what he's got this morning.
Mm-hmm. Now, Flair and WrestleCon, what's going on?
Well, he was announced for WrestleCon, and then today he said that he's not going, that he never agreed to it. His agent never agreed to it. The basic story is that his girlfriend agreed to it and negotiated it, and it was $15,000 to do the autograph signing on the Sunday. And the idea was, the agreement was that he would get paid half when he showed up in Secaucus and started signing. You know, right at the beginning, he would get a cashier's check. And then at the end of the day, he would get cash for $7,500, the other $7,500 that he was owed. And then that would be the deal. And, you know, generally speaking, not even generally, always with Flair, and, you know, with a lot of the top guys, it's common that, you know, they're in demand and they're turning down other bookings and things like that, and certainly that weekend, Flair probably could get other bookings. That, and he does have other bookings. But anyway, the idea was that Flair wanted, you know, the $7,500, the first half, 50% advance. He wanted it on a certain date before the show, so we can like secure the date. That's the theory behind it, anyway. But they did have the deal. They did have the deal with Wendy that was not that, so Sal Carreni didn't want to change the deal. We already had a deal. And so, in fact, you know, I mean, it was never confirmed through Rick's agent or through Rick, but it was through his girlfriend. She did negotiate the deal. So it is what it is. I'm surprised it got to this only because, you know, it's a $15,000 one-day deal. You would think that both sides would, instead of, you know, we would figure out a way to make it work. Something like that. It's like, okay, you know, is it that bad? If you show up and you know, you get paid when you show up, or is it that bad to give a deposit? I mean, I guess you could say, well, we don't trust Ric Flair with a deposit. I mean, I guess there have. So I can see that. It just blew, you know, it blew up. I mean, when I see the situation, I can see them still making up because it's a lot of money for, you know, and again, it's Ric Flair on the show, and, you know, it just works out the best for both of them to make it up and to just come to a common ground. But right now, he says he's not going to be there, and they say he's not going to be there, and that's the deal.
All right, TNA taped about 8 million pay-per-views, as noted a couple days ago. They've got international commitments they've taped through, or they're taping through February of 2014. And they've got the all-women's pay-per-view, they've got a World Cup pay-per-view, they've got a tag team pay-per-view. I guess one of the more interesting notes is that in the World Cup pay-per-view, since a lot of guys couldn't get visas, and they had some issues getting people internationally, they had teams including Team Aces and Eights.
Yeah, Aces and Eights is now a country somewhere, and I don't know where it's located, though.
I don't know either, but Evil East is listed as...
Evil East is in Aces and Eights.
Team Aces and Eights, yep.
Yeah, they needed a woman because that was the deal. Every team needed a woman, so Aces and Eights got Evil East. This doesn't even air until November.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm thinking about this, and it's like, okay... So that means that none of these guys can turn between now and November. They're actually still going to be around in November. Can you imagine the same group around in November with, like, you know, the same members?
Especially, no, given that October will be Bound for Glory and this thing should be over then.
I guess. Yeah, so, you know. So, but anyway, yeah. So and all the, you know, the Team U.S. members Well, I guess they're still all going to be Americans. And Daniels and Kazarian still did, you know, turn on James Storm at the end to prove that they're the heels. But we had a Team UK, which, you know, was what, Magnus and Spud, Rockstar Spud, and who else was on the UK? Doug Williams and Rob Terry, and Hannah Blossom. We had the Team Aces and Eights. We had the Team US. And then instead of like a Japan team or a Mexico team, we just had the international team, which was basically guys thrown together, was Sanjay Dutt, who lives in Virginia, I believe, and who else on the international team? They got Macias from AAA because he actually does have a working visa. And who else on the international squad?
Let me find we had a whole bunch of pay-per-views, so... Let's see what we got. It's very important we get this information out prior to November. All right, the teams we have are Kenny King, Team USA, beat Sanjay Dutt, Team International. Magnus, Team UK, beat Ken Anderson, Aces and Eights. Doc and Knox, Aces and Eights, beat Petey Williams and Funaki, Team International.
So it's Petey Williams from Canada and Shoichi Funaki from San Antonio by way of Japan.
That's right.
Can you imagine, like, that's almost embarrassing to me that you have an international team and you bring in Funaki.
Well, I'm sure they presume that nobody that is watching the show is going to know that Funaki is actually, in fact, from San Jose.
But it's not that. No. It's not that he's from Texas. That's the issue. It's Funaki.
Why is that embarrassing?
Because it's like you're trying to bring in the idea that you're bringing in like a World Cup. The World Cup is like the elite.
It's
not just a bunch
see.
Of guys thrown together. You know, it's like Funaki was like the lowest ranked guy in WWE that they probably almost ever had. I mean, he was just a comedy joke figure. You know, it'd be like bringing in D-Ray, whatever his name. Remember that guy?
Well, we've got Evilise, Lady Tapa, Rockstar Spud, and Hannah Blossom.
Lady Tapa, I got to admit, that's pretty weak too because she's like 2 years from ready to be on television.
Yeah, they have an issue of their work visas, so they came up with this.
Unbelievable! But what, you know? How do you? I mean, they had stars, from various different countries lined up for this show that were like really good wrestlers, and they forgot to get them. Well, they didn't forget. They remembered to get them their visas too late. I mean, it's like this does not reflect well. You know, I mean,
it's been a horrible month for this company.
Whatsoever. I mean, between that and Bobby Roode and you know, the RVD situation, if they actually want RVD, and I don't really know what the situation is there, but if they want him and they let his contract expire without like negotiating, I mean, it's like this is, I don't have a lot of confidence in these guys right about now. Even though, I mean, their TV show is really good, and you know, the product looks more fun than ever before. But I mean, when I'm looking at the front office and the way things are being done, man, it's it comes off like pretty incompetent, I gotta say.
Well, maybe you should hire some people, you know what I mean? Instead of having one guy who's in charge of 80 different things and he's in over his head.
It could be. Could be.
What else do we have? Somebody in charge of contracts.
Contracts.
Somebody in charge of booking. Somebody in charge of visas.
Yeah.
When you wrote in the Observer that, I can't remember the exact number, it was like WWE has 794 employees or something like that.
It's over 700, yeah.
I was like, holy shit. 794 employees?
I don't know if that's a real number.
I think TNA's front office has about 9. That may be too many, actually.
No, I don't know. I think they might have.
After they cut the two press people, they may be down to 6.
PR people that are gone in the same week. I don't even know who their PR people is. You would think that I would know who their, and maybe, I mean, I did know 2 weeks ago, but I don't even know who they are now.
Yeah.
Do they even have one?
At this exact moment, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The only ones I ever dealt with are gone.
Yeah, me too. They were both gone.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, everybody. That's TNA turmoil at this point. TV's fun, though.
Yeah, TV's good. I mean, even though, you know, again, there's a lot of elementary things that really, drive me crazy. But, you know, if you, watch TNA with the idea, which is probably the healthiest way to watch it, is that, they're never going anywhere. They're never going to get – they're never going to – they're never going to grow. They're never going to create their own stars. But for 2 hours, you're going to see some good wrestling and you're going to see some good promos. And you're going to see some stuff that's really illogical. Then it's fine. If you are one of these people who actually wants to see them improve and stuff like that, you know, you're probably never going to see it.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of look at TNA right now.
All right, let's do some of the questions here. Actually, before we do that, we've got to talk about the UFC 158 buy rate, which...
except I don't know what it is.
I know. I just want everybody to know that before the show started, I said, Dave, what should we talk about? And you talked about a couple of things. You said, and the UFC buy rate. I don't have it. And I was what are we going to talk about then?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's big.
We knew that the other day.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. I mean, as far as what it is, you know, I don't know exactly, but like I said, their projection was 775, and that was before all the Diaz stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, Dana on the day of the show, when asked, said that it was projecting along the lines of, we talked about this the other day, the Silva Sonnen match from last year, and I don't know if that's actually the case. You know, I mean, because they're always going to say stuff like that. You know, and then now people are talking about a million buys. And again, I don't really believe this is going to do a million buys or anything like that. But I mean, it's going to do, you know, it'll do, I'm guessing, you know, 700, 850, 700, 900. I mean, whatever it is, it's a big one. I mean, it's a big one. And we knew that going in that it was going to be a big one. So. But yeah, biggest pay-per-view of the year so far, easily well ahead of the last one. That's that much I know for sure. Well ahead of the last one.
Do we have a final number for the last one? The Rousey show, what is it looking at? 550?
No. It's not gonna be that high. It could be 450, 475.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right, this person here says, does it make more business sense if Brock wins or if Triple H wins? Since Brock, the heel, won the first time, would it make more sense for Triple H, the face, to get his revenge win?
I mean, in a world where if Brock was moving down the card and Triple H was moving up the card, yes. If Brock was going to main event WrestleMania against The Rock and Triple H is... I don't even care what he's doing. If Brock is going to main event WrestleMania against The Rock, then no. Now with the stipulation in place, they're pretty much locked into what they got. They're going to do what they're going to do, whatever that may be. You know, either Triple H retires and shocks everyone who doesn't expect it, or what everyone's going to expect now, which is Triple H to win. So now it makes sense that Triple H needs to win, but you didn't need to put that stip in there. And... to me, if you're going to main event the guy at WrestleMania, he should be Triple H, because Triple H's days of meaning something, they're over. You know, I mean, they really are. they're you know, you've just got to accept that. And I mean, and they pretty much have. But, you know, if you want to do the last, you know, he can come back for his last hurrah, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But it probably shouldn't be at the expense of the guy who is going to main event next year's WrestleMania. So, again, I know it's a year later, and, you know, you can rebuild him and all that, but I don't know. To me, you want to, you know, you want to build your main event. You don't want to, you know, what am I called? Compromise your main event even a little bit, just to, for whatever reason that you have for this one. You know, it's like the face, you know, the face should win the feud unless the heel is going on to bigger and better things, in which case the heel should win the feud. And in this case, the heel is going on to bigger and better things.
All right. This fella here says, Tommy Dreamer was saying on Twitter, he hopes the weather gets better in New York in a few weeks. Is there any worry internally in WWE about the weather for WrestleMania?
Well, since they sold so many tickets, I mean, they really, I haven't really heard any concern whatsoever. I mean, it's just one of those things where if it's bad, then that's the story. The weather was bad. You know, everyone in New York has been to sports events where the weather was going to be, no matter how bad the weather is on April 7th, they've been to sports events during football season where the weather is, you know, at certain times the weather has been far, far worse, and it's just part of the deal, you know. So it's, you know, I mean, it's not like it's going to be below zero, hopefully not anyway. It might be a beautiful day. Maybe it'll be cold. You know, I don't know. I don't know where that stadium's located.
Good prediction.
I mean, God damn, I'm just thinking about like
East Rutherford, New Jersey,
oh,
right?
I mean, I know it's in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
I got the weather report right here, Dave.
Okay, what is it right now?
It is currently 28 degrees, which is pretty cold.
That isn't fun. That's not fun at all.
No. The high tomorrow, 42, low 28.
Well, it's going to be at night.
Pretty chilly.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of snow expected on the 25th. And historically, since that's what this website is all about, historically on April 7th, we're looking at the average of a high of 58 and a low of 37.
That's sort of cold, but that's pretty cold.
Not too bad. The record high is actually 78 degrees.
Well, they better hope for that one.
Record low, 17. Better hope that's not the one.
Ooh, a wrestling show. Well, 17's in the middle of the night, but still, if it's like 25 or 30 during the show, it's gonna be tough to go out there and wrestle in that weather. I've been in shows where, you know, in buildings where it's freezing, where they don't have heat, and it's makes for a very cold crowd, and the bumps hurt a lot worse. And I know it's WrestleMania, and the guys are still going to do what they're going to do, but it hurts a lot worse to do it. So, yeah.
All right. A couple more here. This person wants to know, do you know the status of Mike Bennett?
He wasn't the last tapings. I know he got the tryout with WWE. I know that WWE liked him, but I haven't heard that he was offered a contract. And but, yeah, no, he's not plugged. As far as I can tell, I haven't seen his – I don't think he's on the I don't think he's on the April card. So I don't know. I don't actually know the answer to that one.
All right, and one more here. Whatever happened to the Season 1 NXT star Percy Watson? He seemed to really stand out during the season's competition with his charisma, fun personality, good physique. Why did WWE put his old partner Darren Young on television with Titus O'Neil and not him?
I don't know. I mean, he's still there. I don't see much of him. He gets no push. I never really, you know, when he was there, you know, about 2 years ago, he was super, super green. But, you know, he had a little bit of personality, obviously, and he's a great athlete. I mean, that was the one thing. He was the best athlete in the whole developmental program, at least as of when he was, you know, this is like 2 years ago or whatever it was. And I don't know if he didn't show enough, you know, he hasn't shown any improvement and they've given up on him. I really don't know the answer. Maybe I should even ask about that. But, yeah, I mean, it feels like a guy who, you know, they were pretty high on, and now he's, you don't even hear about him, you know, or see him. He's not a star in developmental at all. So he hasn't been cut or anything. But, yeah, I don't know.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up for today, but we got a lot of stuff coming up, and I don't like to get this stuff out sometimes because things can fall through, but we should have a big guest on Tuesday morning, so that is the plan, and obviously we've got a lot of shows coming up. In addition to that, and New Figure 4 is actually going to be out Tuesday, hopefully from now on. New Observer's out on Wednesday, and new back issue of The Observer out tomorrow as well. So we got tons of stuff coming up, so check it out on the road to WrestleMania, and we shall talk to you again after a while.